It is 8:23 in the morning on May 12th, 2021. That's 5:12. What a wonderful number. It's amazing that, or I just now make the realization that this is the number that started it all with Lisa. Wow, I never realized that until just now. I've thanked the Lord already for a few times today for 5:12, 1 Peter 5:12. This is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Yesterday was really kind of a little bit of a downer day after so many really just extraordinary, victorious days of moving forward, action, excitement, momentum was building. And yesterday, kind of everything came to a halt. So by the Lord's will, without a doubt, but I can see that everything came to a halt. It's remarkable. The hope for Tyler to have a condo that it looked like the Lord was providing so miraculously for him to have a place that would be more than just an apartment. My parents put the offer in yesterday or day before. It got rejected yesterday morning. And then they wrote me back in the afternoon to let me know that they did not get it. So that came to a standstill. And it really also just kind of felt like progress and moving forward on the tiny house, getting it sold, like I had that previous night, the night of the 10th. Came back for a second visit, but they still don't have the finances. It will be contingent upon them selling this farm property that their parents own that they're kind of a part of. So if the Lord works out some sort of a miracle in that way, then, you know, they may be able to do it. They really love the house, but it just kind of felt like all this momentum kind of came to a halt. And in addition to, it really is interesting. I've never even thought about like how everything literally yesterday came to a halt. Yesterday morning, I wake up, I've had my second kind of bad dream. There's only been two bad dreams since I have been in this relationship with my amazing God-given wife, Lisa. And the worst of the two dreams happened on the night of the 10th. So that means I woke up yesterday morning on the 11th, 5:11, to this dream. And in the dream, Lisa, myself, and her mom are there. And her mom is sitting on the floor in front of the couch that Lisa and I are sitting on. I'm kind of sitting in the middle of them. It's very interesting. I see this in the dream now, and Lisa is on my left, and mom is on the right. And in the dream, her mom gets a message that is from somebody, and I begin to wonder, is it possible that it's from some she heard on YouTube or what have you, because her, unfortunately, has been very apprehensive about this and basically reached out and tried to convince Lisa that she cannot remarry and tried to put her in this bondage of saying that even though her husband has had an affair, he's not dead. Just really remarkable. So that was an issue. And so now in this dream, although her parents had previously accepted me, now she's having doubts and she's trying to agree that, you know, this is not a good thing. So she's kind of standing against me right in front of me. And Lisa is not protecting me in this. So she's not siding with me. She's not acknowledging that, hey, this isn't good. Don't listen to this. And she's not even touching me. You would think in this moment, she would kind of come closer to me and acknowledge, it doesn't matter what you say. I'm with Michael and God has given me this promise and we're walking into it, which is exactly how Lisa has done in real life. But in this dream, it was exact opposite. So I wake up from this dream really, really, you know, having those moments of disappointment where you first wake up and you realize, oh my goodness gracious. And it makes you feel disappointed towards the person that did wrong to you. And I'm disappointed towards her mom and I'm disappointed towards her because she didn't defend me. And I quickly begin to wipe that out of my mind because I know this is just a stupid, hellish dream. And so, but that's how my day started. Well, incredibly, when I wake up and turn my phone on, it's like right before God is going to bless me. Many times they say, you know, Satan will come and strike. And he sure enough did. Or right after a blessing, Satan comes and strikes. And so here comes this message the very morning that I've had this dream that Mom is standing against us and standing against me. So she sends me this text, Lisa, that is a screen capture of a text from her mom. You look at how this 100% completely contradicts the dream that I had. Now, I cannot control who I have dreams about, who hates me, who loves me, whatever in the dream. I can't control this. This is absolutely incredible. Satan gives me a dream that my mom-in-law is rejecting me and rejecting Lisa and I in this way. And now I wake up to this beautiful, you know, tell him thank you. And not only that, but the thing that was the most special to me about this is that she called me Mikey. This is a term of endearment to me. So I see this and I'm going, wow, what a blessing that is. Just so thankful for that. She and I had just the most delightful, probably 3 hours plus call last night. We just expressed our love and devotion. We prayed together and we talked about, you know, stories and certain things and this, that, and the other. And then we went into prayer to really move forward, you know, with God. You need to really help us with guidance on her end of us buying some land and building and all. We need tons of direction in this. And then with everything going on with us, with on my end, the tiny house and Tyler and all that, and how it kind of felt like a kind of a disappointing day and setback to both of us. She could feel it too. And she's kind of like, aw. And so we prayed and I got all the prayers that I thought to pray out. And this is, I think, our third time praying over the phone together. And both times at the end of the prayer, I asked her, sweetheart, would you like to add anything? And both times she said, no, I think you've, you know, covered it all. And so last night I said, sweetheart, is there anything else you can think of that we should pray about? And before I know it, she takes the wheel. And it was just beautiful. I literally thought she was only going to say something for like 10 seconds. You know, like, oh, Lord, bless Michael's sleep, or, you know, protect him from the nightmares or whatever, you know, something like that, because she did pray that. And I just thought it would be like a little 10-second thought. Oh man, it was so beautiful. She went on directly from her heart. And I just was amazed. She thanked the Lord for answering her prayers after all these years of waiting and feeling like there was no hope. And she said, oh Father, I now can see how you must have been just looking at me and saying, oh, daughter, just wait a little bit longer. Wait until you see what I have for you, type of thing. And oh, man, it was incredible. She told the Lord that she never knew a love like this existed. She never knew somebody could love her like this, and how she feels so loved by him because of my love. And as she would call it, you know, the gift of me from him to her. And it was just absolutely beautiful. I was listening to this and part of me was just in disbelief as to what I was hearing. Because here I have a wife who is honoring me, not before men. Here is a wife who is honoring me before God. I've never thought about that until just now. But I felt like if I look at this, it's like my wife was honoring me before God and angels and the great cloud of witnesses last night. And I don't know that I've ever been so honored. Particularly, there's going to be no person that could ever pray for me more important than my wife. So to hear her pray like this, it's like part of me just still finds it so difficult to believe that anybody could ever love me like this. You know, because, and it's like, I believe it by faith, but my natural circumstances and the, now the good news is that I'm not able to think on this. I'm just saying this out of the natural self. The natural self wants to just go, you know, nobody could ever love you the way you want to be loved. And you know, you're a throwaway. You know, it's just like that message that came into my heart when I'm 5 years old. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. You're going to be replaced or rejected. And it's just like that arrow came into my heart when I was 5 years old. And there was then just a long history of family members and, you know, parents and people that just abandoned me and rejected me one after another. And of course, I'm so healed of that all these years later, to the praise of God. This doesn't bother me at all anymore. I have a Father in heaven who loves me so much. But aside of like Tyler, there's very few people that have not rejected me. I mean, even my own parents. I mean, just, you know, even at this stage in the game, you know, just years ago, they were saying, man, you got a mental illness, this faith thing and believing God and trusting God. I mean, just crazy. So literally my whole life I've been rejected, and I'm okay with it. I'm just like, I just kind of expect it now. And, you know, even though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me, David said. So David was clearly rejected by his mother and father, and people never talk about that. Yeah, I mean, I just thank God for all the healing he's given me, but it's like now he's going to allow me to have this desire that I have had that has never gone away. The Lord is the one who directs the desires and attitudes of a person's heart, and he could so easily have taken this desire from me. And I've been so content that I surrendered it and said, oh Lord, I don't think I have this desire anymore. And the Lord stirred it back up, because it's been part of his plan to bring himself glory and to use my marriages as signs. There's no doubt about it. When you look like particularly at P's life, you look at this, what a danger sign. Her whole situation is about falling away from the faith and living in pride and not listening to your husband when he warns you. Goodness gracious, you have got to be kidding me. 8:48. I mean, how many times does this happen? My phone literally, God almighty, this is incredible. All I did was I just walked under this tree that's fallen. I've had to duck. I come just under the tree and I'm having to look down because I'm looking at the ground as I'm ducking, and my phone lights up at 8:48. The first time it's lit up since I've been out here. God, praise you, Father. I need that so bad. Go in peace. Your faith has delivered you. God, that just gives me like an electrical charge through my body. Man, I just thank you, Father, because, you know, here I am talking about how things have kind of come to a standstill all of a sudden. And, you know, not only that, but I have not put the tiny house up for sale yet. But let me stay on this subject. So to feel like I'm not, it's like I have such a hard time. There's a part of me that wants to be so afraid that says this is never going to happen. Something's going to happen. She's going to eventually reject you. You're not going to be able to get to New Zealand. There's not going to be a visa. This is all going to come to nothing. This is the way it's always been for you. This is the way it's always going to be for you. You're always going to miss God's best. You're always going to be able to just touch it, and it's going to be snatched away from you. It is God's will that you never have anything you're going to enjoy in this earth. He wants your life to always be suffering. He wants to make sure that the only hope you have is for heaven. There is that, and that's not screaming, but that is written in the experience of my natural life, that this is always going to come into disappointment. This is always not going to work out. And you know something, everything the Lord has been telling me and showing me is that, and I know this, so I'm not having doubts about this at all. I'm just saying there is that Galatians 5:17 fleshly thought, that human understanding thought, that's writing a story in my heart, or trying to. But the real story that's being overwritten top of that, it's like that one's being written in pencil, and here comes the big permanent inker Sharpie type pen that is saying, no, God has this for you. You have been tested. The word of God has tested you. You have persevered. You have not grown weary for his name. You have persevered under trial, and blessed is the man who does so, and you've been faithful to the point of death, and now you're going to get this crown of life. Revelation 2:10, James 1:12. He sees that at the highest level of my love is for the love of my wife. The highest level of my desire is for my wife. There is nothing else on this planet that comes close. Nothing. I am not interested in anything or anyone outside of, for my greatest desires, my wife. She is it. I've told her, I said, now this is going to sound crazy. I said, but you are my entertainment. You are my extracurricular activity. You are my, quote, fun. You are my fellowship. You are my best friend. You are my activities. What have you outside of my work for the Lord? I don't have any interest in this, these other things. I'm not into watching TV. I'm not into watching NASCAR. I'm not into going to the ball games. I'm not into going hiking and camping. I only go hiking because I'm praying to the Lord. Hiking means nothing to me. It feels completely worthless when I do it apart from going in prayer time. Now, obviously, when I get to New Zealand, I'll go and explore some places with my wife, but she is the desire of my heart, just to have her by my side. And God has written this exactly into her heart. We just want to be with each other all day long, everywhere we go, just to be in each other's presence, to be a team, to live together, work together, play together, all of that. That's her desire and that's my desire. That's it. We don't have any other desires for things on earth. Not at all. So for Father to see that even in the face of such incredible joy, incredible elation, amazing blessing, granting me the greatest desire of my heart, and then, you know, all that spice that comes with that in the natural, and God sees I'm willing to set any talks about that down to wait. He sees that no matter what, I still am always going to put Him first. And this is just even more proof that all I've said all my life is there's never going to be anybody or anything that will come between me and the Lord. And this proves it. I am so excited about her heart. And she just continues to show me her love and open up to me and make herself vulnerable to me about, you know, her likes, dislikes, concerns, all that stuff, which are very little. It seems like God has answered almost all of them on the way. It's just been incredible. But to really, you know, make herself vulnerable to show me this kind of love and to kind of hang it all out there. I mean, she's 100% mine. She's 100% committed. She's loyal as they come. And, you know, like she said last night, she said, "Sweetheart, I will always be loyal to you." She said, and I have proof. I'm not just saying that. She said, "Look how loyal I was to somebody who didn't even love me, who cheated on me." And she said, "Look, I waited for him for that long." And I said, "Oh, baby, I know. And you don't even have to have that evidence. I can discern it in her heart." And so I'm going to have somebody who's finally going to be loyal to me and who's been loyal to God and who's been loyal to an unfaithful man. And it's amazing to me how God caused both of us to remain faithful and to love somebody who was unfaithful to both him and us. And it's like after God allowed us to be in that prison of loving without getting anything in return, clearly she loved him without getting anything in return. And she says to me, "How much more loyal will I be to you, sweetheart?" I mean, it's just amazing to think about it. And it's like, I've already told her, I said, "Sweetheart, I am so deeply satisfied in your love." I said, if not much changes when we get together, I'm already the happiest man, you know, on the planet. And so this has just been totally amazing. And I just see how, you know, the Lord allowed both of us to really suffer loss for a long time waiting for these unfaithful spouses of ours to go prodigal and to break and to come back, and they never did. And when the time was up, you know, God said, "Move forward." And look, I just look at the timing of how he knew the time was right in Lisa's heart and he knew the time was right in my heart. And I'm just amazed at all the things he's done. Lisa said last night, she said, "Baby, look at the details, all the little details that God is in. It's just amazing. There are too many to list. How God just continues to show, I'm in this." And you know, there's a part of me that it really does believe this is so good, it cannot be true. I'm in a dream. I mean, I'm telling you, it absolutely feels like a dream. Like I keep just waiting, okay, this is going to be real when I finally have a plane ticket in my hand. You know, or I've bought a plane ticket and I'm going, because right now she's so far away. Yesterday I went on Google Earth to look for, you know, just to see, you know, is Australia and New Zealand considered in the east or in the west? I mean, what is that? And I went on Google Earth and pulled up the globe and I had to scroll so far to see New Zealand. And I had this sick feeling come into my stomach. It's literally like a feeling of terror came into me just for a moment when I realized, look how far away, how disconnected I am from my wife. She is so totally halfway around the world. She's in a different hemisphere than I am. She's not only halfway around the world, she's on the other side of the other hemisphere. She's on the southern hemisphere. We're in the northern hemisphere. Hence the reason why she's getting ready to go into winter. You know, we're going into summer. It's just, wow, it's just amazing. This whole thing has just been amazing. And so I feel it's so incredible. It's so good that I keep thinking, okay, there's got to be something wrong with this in some here. And I'm not trying to say that out of a lack of faith. That's just my nature. That's the truth. The nature is trying to say, somewhere this is going to fall apart. Somewhere you're going to find a snake in the grass, if you will. And as soon as that thought comes out of my mouth now, the truth is, no, it's not. This is what God has been promising me for years, that I would be double blessed. And I would remember, you know, Job's perseverance and seeing what the Lord finally brought about. And here I am actually entering in and with a 42-year-old wife into the 42nd chapter of Job. That's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that I am 47, 40 and 7, the two most important numbers in all of Scripture, both of them meaning completion or perfection. She is 42, which represents the most beautiful daughters in all the land were Job's daughters. The Bible intentionally points this out to show this is a mark of God. I did this. It's the 42nd chapter of Job. I've had even people say, oh, you're getting ready to go into Job 42, brother. And here it is. He gives me a wife who's 42. And how many years are there between us? But 5. 47 minus 2 is 5. And what is number 5 that I've just been talking about, you know, within the last 2 weeks, having read the words from Austin Sparks? 5 is the number of God's grace. Everywhere you see the number 5 in Scripture, it represents God's grace. And so you see this and I'm just like, wow. And here it is. I'm saying this, not even realizing that today is 5:12. Again, this is the true grace of God. Stand for a minute. It's like I'm starting to see all these little details. I'm already asking Lisa this morning on some notes. I've said, you know, I want to know the date of the first time you sent me your video recording. I'm going to start looking for dates and times, biblical dates and times, to be in this. For example, when God has already given me the two dates, September 11th and August 28th, quarantine in New Zealand is 14 days. It is exactly 14 days from 8/28 to 9/11. The two dates that God gave me and confirmed over a period of about 3 days, that these are the dates that you will be with your wife. Like 8/28, my plane lands, perhaps, if I've heard the Lord and understood this correctly. And 9/11 is the first day I get to lay eyes on my future bride. And yeah, this is just incredible. And I, all thanks be to God. It's just, I've never felt the blessing of God this deep, this wide, this amazing. It is so big. It is so glorious. It is so perfect. It feels like it's heaven on earth. It feels like for some reason now God is wanting to make my life a different kind of sign, a sign of the life to come, the Beulah land. Your land will be married, a sign of double joy, a sign of you prisoners of hope, come out now. Even now I announce I will restore double to you, a sign of what is to come, a sign of the goodness of God. A sign that my whole life isn't just to be about suffering and loss and persecution and destruction and shattered dreams and shattered goals and all of that. And it's not all just about disciplining and training and being conformed into the image of Christ and sharing in his sufferings, but also the comforts of Christ overflow into our life. The blessings of God, the richness of God. You know, Paul says you'll be made rich in every way to be generous, to be able to give, and that will result in thanksgiving to God on all of our behalf. And so I feel like God must be wanting to do another sign. It's like, if you look at my life, I could just quickly say, it's like a journey through all of earth, all the difficulties. You know, you will have troubles in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And it's like, I'm standing in a little bit of that overcoming now. You have to be faithful even to the point of death, and then you will receive the crown of life. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. Me receiving this gorgeous wife inside and out who loves me, cherishes me, respects me, and will be loyal to me. This is, it looks more and more like this is a picture, like I'm coming into completion of the whole journey of God. That it starts out, you're in prison, you're in bondage, you don't know God, you never have, and you're hopeless to know him until he intervenes by prevenient grace to come into your life and make himself and your sin known. Him as the Savior, you as doomed apart from him. And you reach out and you grab him and you put faith in him and you're relieved of the burden of sin. And then you begin to grow and walk with him. And well, how is this working? And you begin to struggle and God lets the grace wane for a while because now to get it, you have to obey him. And you haven't learned that yet. So you struggle your way trying to be a Christian and follow the rules. And you end up trying in your own strength and you become miserable. You become frustrated and there's times you want to give up. And then there's the persecution that comes and all the misunderstandings. And then there's the sacrifice. And then God allows difficulty and suffering to happen. And you've been told that if you're You're going to walk with Christ. You'll be blessed of the Lord and good things will happen to you. And, you know, you have God's favor. And on the contrary, your circumstances begin to fall apart and they feel challenging and they feel ugly and you don't understand it. And then somehow or another, you come across a YouTube video or an example from a friend or a book. And it tells you that, you know, a great deal of the Christian life is about suffering and living for the life to come, not this life, losing your life to find it, taking up your cross, denying yourself. And you don't like the message, but you recognize it as truth. And the Holy Spirit does a work of conviction in your heart and you begin to move forward in this. And there comes the suffering. And there comes the denial of self. There comes the taking up of cross. There comes answered prayers, but lots and lots of waiting, lots and lots of disappointments. There comes the wilderness. Times when God will lead you into a very difficult, dry, and weary land where he feeds you with manna, but that's about it. And you're eating the same manna every single day. And you don't see any sign of the promised land. It's all just desert sand. Scorpions, snakes, sun-scorching heat, and you're tested. Do you really want this thing Jesus is offering for the right reason? Do you really want him? Do you really love him? Do you really obey him? And you have to go through it, and it's ugly, and there's no way out. But that's not how the Christian life ends. The Christian life ends gloriously, being filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. And ultimately, it ends with God's blessing and his dwelling being with men. And he wipes away all the tears and joy is restored. Jesus Christ told the disciples, now is your time of grief, but your time of joy is coming when nobody will take away your joy. And it's a different time, but it's like somehow or another, it feels like God is going to use this last season of my life to give me a rest, to show me the goodness of God in the land of the living. And for this to be an encouragement to other people, that there is some goodness of God to be had, to be seen. There are desires of our heart. When we delight ourselves totally in the Lord, when we're willing to obey him, to suffer for him, to wait patiently for him, to keep our faith in him, that God does have some good things for us in this life, even though our real hope should be for the life to come. And that has to be worked into us, that no matter what God gives you in this life, it won't take you away from what the top priority is him and in the life to come. And I really feel like that's where I'm at, that God has worked eternity in my heart so much. He's worked the Spirit of Christ in my heart so much that I'm free from ever hoping in anything down here. And it's one of the reasons why I'm having such a hard time really coming to grips with how amazing this is. And almost being afraid of the blessing. I don't know how else to describe it, but there's a part of me that's afraid of enjoying the blessing, like I'll be guilty. There's a part of me that has so been used to suffering for so long and so long doing without, so long being rejected, so long having unmet expectations, so long having shattered dreams, disappointments, so long having the rug pulled right out from underneath of me, that I find myself with the capacity to feel guilty if I enjoy this too much. And at the same time, I don't feel that I am. I feel like it would almost be a crime against God for me to not accept and drink all the way down this new cup that Father has put into my hand. I'm having a revelation about this right now that I've never seen before. John 18:11, I believe it is. Jesus says, this is the cup. You know, shall I not drink the cup the Father has put into my hand, he says. And that cup is a cup of suffering. Well, I've been drinking that cup for a lot of years, pretty much my whole life. And I recognized then that if I turn away and try to save myself, will I smack this cup out of the Father's hand? And how disrespectful that would be to him, rather than to trust him and recognize I'm a Christian, he's sovereign, he is working all things together for the good in my life, he's controlling this, he put this cup in my hand, shall I smack it away by grumbling against him, or try to change the circumstances, or kick the cup away? And now I didn't do that during suffering, well, how much more should I be willing to drink that cup when instead of some bitter vinegar or gall, he pours in a very, very choice red wine and says, here, Michael, you've drunk the cup of gall and vinegar long enough, son. You didn't spit it out. You didn't disobey. You didn't grumble often. Now I have a cup of sweetness. I used to actually say to the Lord on this trail, Father, I can keep drinking this cup, but I'm going to need your help in holding the cup to my lips. The suffering got so bad a few times with this whole pee thing and suffering in the face of her dying and her never coming back, et cetera, et cetera. And the promise and the bondage to stay in it. I said, Lord, I can keep drinking, but you're going to have to hold the cup to my lips. And he did. He helped me. He helped me to get to the finish line. And ironically, I now feel like I may have to ask the Lord a few times, Father, this fresh, incredible red wine that you've placed in this cup to bless me with, Father, I need you also to now help me hold this cup to my lips. I think I'm just going to leave it there. My phone is just lit up at 9:10. I'm going to look and see what that may be. Michael commentary. Brothers and sisters, I apologize for the background music and the noise. I'm working from a coffee shop today, but just bear with me. I want to make a really important point on what has just happened. You've just heard me say, you know, my phone has just lit up at 9:10. And for those of you who have been following this story through the Grace to Love Again and perhaps the I Will Come Forth as Gold series, you've heard this happen a lot, where I'll be on the trail in prayer or making a journal recording like this, and my phone lights up and is a number that points specifically to a passage of scripture that either A, I've already quoted in this recording, or B, something that is directly related from the Father's heart on what I'm speaking about. Now, it just so happens that today I got a very negative email from a person who said, look, I love the story, but I'm really irritated about you constantly sharing all these numbers. It really just is kind of getting obnoxious. Can you stop doing this? And I explained to the person, I said, look, I do understand, because trust me, I've had to live it and it can seem irritating. But brothers and sisters, let me say something factual, and you have to decide what side of the fence you're on. You get to decide. Jesus said, let anyone who has ears to hear, okay? With these numbers, you have got to get past the idea that it's numbers. The numbers are just the providence of God that he's chosen in this unique dispensation we're living in, the digital age, where there's numbers everywhere, where God, Job 33:14, God speaks now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. But you have to get past that. Don't allow the numbers or me mentioning them to offend you. Instead, watch this. Look at this. It is the finger of God pointing to his heart or to his truth or in some way to confirm something. Okay, brothers and sisters, let me just say this to you. Today that I'm editing this recording is June 30th of 2021, okay? Yesterday, on the 29th of June, I have experienced perhaps the biggest miracle I have ever seen in my life. It is the most quick, immediate, and largest answer to prayer miracle I have ever seen in 12 years. It just happens yesterday. Now, I'm not going to tell you guys about it. I want you to endure. You're going to have to endure, and your mind is going to be blown. You're going to be blown at how much Satan attacks your brother. You can't believe the kind of attacks that I go through just to give these recordings to you guys. You wouldn't believe it. Okay, but listen to this. Just yesterday, I received one of the biggest miracles I've ever seen in my life. In fact, just so you know that I'm not tooting my own horn and that I'm not testifying on my own, I'm just going to throw in right here just a few second clip of a response that you're going to hear from Jared and Kristen. And listen to Kristen's response. My little sweet quiet sister, listen to her response after they heard what happened.
Wow, brother, we are in shock. We had to listen to it a second time because we couldn't process it the first time. I was like, did I hear that right? Man, that is unbelievable. Like, that is a massive miracle. It's
all
really
I
cool.
Have to say is,
that's Kay's scream of excitement,
really,
brother.
Really excited.
She's only done that about four times. Wow, man. Incredible, brother.
Okay, that's to give you an idea. You are going to be dumbfounded when you hear this. Now watch, here's the point I'm making. That miracle that happened is 100% result of numbers. God pointing me to scriptures. For those of you who don't believe or those of you who are irritated with it, I want to challenge you to think about this. It's like you're smacking away, or it's like you are turning a deaf ear to the speaking voice of God. Those of you who have humble hearts, what you need to do is say, okay, I don't understand this. It's weird, right? Quit saying you can't point to it in the Bible. You can't point to gravity in the Bible. You can't point to almost anything science understands in the Bible. And yet it's true. Hold on to the words of Tozer. Everything in the Bible is true, but not everything true is in the Bible. Get over your putting God in such a weird box and thinking that you somehow or another have God and all of his doctrines and all of his ways figured out. No. Here's what you need to do. You get your heart right. You surrender completely to God. Who cares how God speaks to you? God can find whatever method he wants to speak to a servant who's obedient, who's humble, who's sold out, who's on fire. And quite honestly, brothers and sisters, there's people all over the world that have had this experience. I can't speak for very many of them. I've had people mention here and there, but look at my brother and sister, Jared and Kristen. We're talking about 10-year careers leaving. We're talking about leaving their entire family. We're talking about leaving and moving 1,000 miles away from where they've all they've ever known their whole life. We're talking about them buying a tiny house. We're talking about them selling a tiny house. We're talking about them adopting. We're talking about where they live. We're talking about where they work. Everything is decided by God giving them scriptures that he points them to with numbers. So for those of you who can't understand it or can't swallow it, I'm so sorry. It's like Jesus becomes a stumbling block and you're tripping over it. I'm really sorry for those of you who are stumbling and tripping over, you know, God's doing this. But watch this. For those of you who are on the fence, who can be convinced, if you can identify to Brother Michael and Sister Lisa's experiences, what you're getting to see is the Holy Spirit is pointing to with his finger. He's saying, this is the scripture right here. This is what my thoughts are on that. This is what my heart is on that. And this is happening over and over and over again. Yes, you're always going to have the nature part of you that wants to disagree with this, that wants to go, well, this doesn't make sense. I've never heard this before. I mean, the people online are saying you're a heretic, Michael. Well, on this book, it says you're a numerology whack. On this book, it says you're an occultist. And this guy says that you're an idiot. But what does God say about me? Brothers and sisters, you know something? God shut the mouth of every single fool and every single arrogant legalist and every single hypocrite and every single godless religious so-called Christian. He shut their mouth yesterday, June 29th, 2021. You're not going to get to hear it for a couple of weeks, but you're going to be amazed. Let me just tell you something. You've never in your life heard of something like this. It's absolutely extraordinary. God has told me in advance the future over and over again. Do you know, so far, 3 times in this story, you haven't gotten to it yet. 3 times in this story, God has told me the future 3 days in advance using Joshua 1:10. And 3 days later, a miracle happens. You've already heard the first one. I'll give you the hint. The first one was you hear me mention 7 times I see the number 1:10 in 1 day. What happens 3 days later? My mother calls me and tells me they're going to buy Tyler a condominium. Well, what was one of the biggest problems for me is figuring out how I'm going to get my son set up when I leave to go to New Zealand. And that was taken care of. But now all you've heard so far is that it's fallen through. But that's not the rest of the story. You got to keep listening to hear what happens. Okay? But now going back to the point, you hear me mention in this 9:10, this 9:10. Okay? If you don't think God is doing this, brothers and sisters, you're deceived. You're deceived. Not me, you. If you don't believe that God is using numbers for 12 years to speak to me and tell me in advance or to tell me afterwards or to warn me in advance, then you are the one deceived, not me. Until you can show me more evidence of God moving in your life, you are the one missing out. Because you've put God in some sort of a box. You need to put God in box doctrines, but you cannot tell God how he can and cannot speak. You cannot say to Paul when he says, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me prisons and beatings await me. And if he tells you it's some weird thing, you can't say, no, I don't see that in the Bible, Paul. I'm sorry, you can't do that. That's not in the Bible. Do you know how many things are in the Bible that you haven't ever seen? Do you argue about that? Do you say, well, I've never seen a hand show up and write on the wall to me. I've never seen an ass begin to talk like a human being to me. I've never seen a cloud descend and speak and say, you are my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. I've never seen a vision where a sheet's been let down and I can just go on and on and on about all the things. What about all the things in the Bible that are there that you haven't ever seen and you never will see? Do you have a problem with that? Okay. I've just mentioned 9:10. Now let me ask you a question. Do you remember hearing this? And if you didn't remember hearing what I'm about to play, you can go back and listen to it. It's at 23 minutes and 32 seconds. It's this clip right here. The richness of God. You know, Paul says you'll be made rich in every way to be generous, to be able to give, and that will result in thanksgiving to God on all of our behalf. And so now you've heard me just say, Paul says we'll be made rich in every way so that we can meet the needs of other people, and this will result in the praise and thanksgiving to God. Okay, I just told you my phone lights up at 9:10. What is the scripture? 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, how many people have the audacity in their nature to say, oh, that's just a coincidence? You see this, brothers and sisters? It's God confirming the very words the Holy Spirit had me speak just minutes earlier. And again, I'm trying to help you see this because I understand. Listen, let me just be fair. I understand how hard this is because you have a nature. I have a nature. Listen, every day I talk to Lisa, my flesh wants to say, this cannot be. This is too good to be true. Nobody could ever love me like this. There's no way there could be a human being on the planet that matches me like Lisa does. Brothers and sisters, it would absolutely make you turn a backflip. It would drain the blood out of your face. If I made a list of all the things that Lisa and I have found, it is absolutely ridiculous. It's like Hollywood couldn't have written this. We think it's like some sort of a joke, like heaven is playing a joke on us. I don't mean that, but it seems like that. It's so extraordinary. God is going out of his way to go, okay, yeah, I did this. I really did this. I really, really did this. And I want you guys to put down your skepticism so that you can go. And I can't tell you, I'm not going to tell you what happened yesterday, but when you hear, and you got to understand, it all happens. God told me in advance it would happen. He told Lisa in advance it would happen. Lisa is heavily involved in this. She has a huge role in what happens. It is the biggest miracle either one of us have ever seen in our life. So I just wanted to add that into this so you guys can begin to go, I know it's hard to understand. I know it's hard when you hear me say, oh, there's 855. Oh, there's 212. Brothers and sisters, it all ends up coming true. So again, here's the point. Instead of being skeptical about the numbers, if what I'm saying is true, believe me. It's like Jesus said. If you cannot believe that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father, he said, please just believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. He's saying, look at what's happening. A tree is recognized by its fruit. Wisdom is proved right by his children. And Jesus practically begged people, believe me. Believe me that I am who I am. Believe that this power is from me. Don't think this is from Satan, Jesus is saying. Don't say I'm doing this by the power of Beelzebub. These are the religious Pharisees, people who are not saved, that say this kind of garbage. I'm asking you to please ask the Lord to show you if you haven't already been able to see this, because what's happening is you are missing God's finger pointing to his word and his heart on everything that's happening in this story. That's what's so important about this, is you're getting to see the understanding of God, the heart of God, the wisdom of God. What is God saying about this? Every single scripture that I'm quoting from a number that points to a scripture, guess how many of you it applies to? Every single one of you. When God shows me a 7-11 from Matthew 7-11, and it says, if I being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more does the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? It doesn't just apply to Michael Criswell. It might as well be that you walk into your house and there's 7-11 written on all of the walls, because if you believe it by faith and you're walking in obedience and you're trusting God, that scripture is just as true for you as it is for me. When God shows you James 5-11, Hebrews 10:35, Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death, then you will be given the crown of life. James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. If you have a Bible open and your eyes are coming across those scriptures and you're studying the Bible, those words apply to you. So when you hear me talk about an 855, 1 Kings 855, King Solomon standing before the great assembly declaring to the people that not one word of all of God's promises failed, well, that was true for King Solomon. That was true for King David. That was true for Daniel in the lion's den. That's true for Paul in the ship that's being sunk. That's true for Jesus Christ on his way to the cross. That's true for Michael Criswell on his way to this marriage. that's true for you and whatever you face and whatever God promises you. So don't get hung up on, oh, God's not showing me numbers, or I never heard of this before. Oh, this must be the occult. Can Satan make all of this happen in a guy's life who loves Jesus Christ, who has the Spirit of Christ living in him, who has the evidence and the fruit and the wisdom being proven right? Can Satan do in my life, the life of a true, sold out, on fire believer of Jesus Christ, all that God can do? No. So the only way you can conclude, like when you hear about the biggest miracle, trust me, you've ever heard in your life, I'm just telling you, you've never heard anything like it. Have you ever heard of a 777-day divorce? No, you haven't. So you have not, and I can say emphatically, you have not heard it. And God is doing this for a reason. He's doing extraordinary things to show his power in my life, to pull the rug out from underneath of those who are falsely accusing me or people who are stuck in unbelief. And most importantly, to show his power in the lives and hearts of those who believe. Brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you to edify God's hand in this. If you remember, about 2 weeks ago, it took me almost 5 days to come up with the next episode. You would not believe the paralysis that I experienced in my mind. I've come under a new type of spiritual attack. It happened again today. My wife had to stop what she was doing and pray for me immediately. I told her, I said, sweetheart, I can't move. It's like I've been bit by a snake. I have never in 12 years of ministry experienced the kind of spiritual attack that I have experienced in simply trying to do these last few episodes for you. You cannot imagine it. I got into a place where it was total confusion and I could not move forward. I could not edit the recordings. I don't even have time to explain it. It is horrendous. Satan has attempted to attack this testimony. It's like what Paul says. Brothers and sisters, I wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. He says, but Satan stopped us. He stopped me. And Satan has stopped me from being able to come to you a few times. And so when you see a delay, it's that I'm having to wait for, just as Paul did, I'm having to wait for Jesus Christ to open up a way. Thanks be to God through the prayers of my wife, who God hears. God has restored me today, and I've been able to do this recording. But you wouldn't believe it, what Lisa and I had to fight in order for me just to get this recording today to you. I'm talking about to be able to sit and edit it. You wouldn't believe it. Total paralysis. An inability to sit before my own computer. I have been doing this for 12 years. I have never experienced anything like this. Oh, I've been sitting at Starbucks where years ago, some woman to try to tempt me or distractions or people or whatever things external of me. No, I've never felt anything like what I've been feeling two or three times now, where days go by and I cannot move forward and this cannot edit it. I cannot make any progress on it. It's truly something totally unique I've never experienced. This is the cost that I'm paying. I told Lisa last night, I said, see, sweetheart, people have no idea the cost I'm paying to get these messages. They just think, oh, I'm just so in love and I'm having so much fun and everything's just so wonderful. No, you have no idea the cost that Brother Michael and Sister Lisa are having to pay in order to live this story, number one, and B, to then turn around and testify. Satan attacks it and hates it because the seed of Jesus Christ is in it, and I'm caught in between Jesus and Satan. That's the truth. Any Christian, any minister is in between a battle between Satan and Jesus Christ. And death is at work in me so that life can be at work in you. And the death of Christ is coming into me every day so that the life of Christ can be revealed in my mortal body. Just as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's real. The spiritual warfare is real. Satan is real. The spirit of Jesus Christ in this is real. Look at the testimonies, brothers and sisters. Look at the people who testified from 2016. They heard my recording. They were in a living hell, and God used one of my recordings to show them that they could get out of that hellish marriage and they could forsake that legalistic church they were in that was trying to keep them in that hellish bondage, to keep them from being able to be alive to God. Look at the testimonies. Look and see how people have testified. Look at the fruit. Recognize a tree by its fruit. Believe me when I tell you, Satan hates my guts. Not me, but he hates Jesus and me. And he hates me in direct proportion to how much I've yielded Michael Criswell to Jesus Christ. Same thing with Lisa. Same thing with you. I am weak. Apart from him, I am nothing. I couldn't even do a stupid recording, brothers and sisters. I needed Jesus Christ's help. I sat paralyzed on my couch, unable to move. I couldn't even leave a message for Lisa this morning. I was paralyzed. I could not even hardly speak. You understand? These messages come to you at a high cost, and I pray you do not take them for granted. This is not just another romance. This is not just some weirdo God, this guy, he's just numbers this. No, this is for your benefit and for your blessing. God is doing something that's unprecedented. I've never seen or heard of anything like this in Christian history, where God is pointing the whole way to a scripture that you can see and that can be captured digitally, so that you can know in a situation similar exactly what God's word for you is in that situation. Even if you don't have a number, you have the word of God. Please believe me, I'm paying a high cost to get these messages to you. Please believe Satan hates these messages. Please believe, if you will listen and follow my example, that God is not just doing this because Brother Michael and Sister Lisa are the only ones he's going to bless. No, it's a lie. Please pay attention. See that these things are not something that we should make fun of. Yes, I understand. I know it's hard to believe in the natural, but you've got to have the Spirit of Christ in you. These things are only understood and perceived by the Spirit of Christ. And you are going to understand these things in direct proportion to how much of the Spirit you have, how anointed you are, and how much you have yielded your life to Him in obedience. If you're not walking in obedience, brothers and sisters, you know, God had me cut. Never mind. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm going to let you hear the rest of this story. And I'm going to end the commentary now. But you mark my words, you keep listening. You keep listening, and you wait until you hear what God brings about in this story. You will be amazed at the power of your God through two of the weakest people I know. Lisa and I are considered throwaways and rejects amongst most of our peers and people that know us, family members, etc. We are the lowest of the low. We are weak. We're rejects. There's nothing super great about Michael. I'm not intellectual. I'm not smart. I'm not great at anything except for just following the Lord. That's it. That's all I know how to do. And look at the power that God is displaying in these weak people. You are going to be amazed. Trust me when I tell you, you are going to be amazed. End of commentary. That's where I'll leave it for right now. I'm gonna drink this cup by faith. And I'm gonna recognize that I am not worthy of this because of me. It is the Lord Christ who lives in me, who has caused me to become obedient, who has placed righteousness and holiness inside of me, and faithfulness. It's His faith. It's His righteousness, His holiness. And I again said to the Lord this morning, oh God, how I'm enjoying eating these glory crumbs. It literally is like my wife is the best glory crumbs I've ever seen and had in my life. God has bigger purposes for it, but He's going to allow me to eat off of this table. And I'm just amazed. Oh my goodness gracious, I could go on for eons, but I'll end it there at 9:11. Now, this is pretty remarkable. I just said I'll end it there. Totally forgot about the 9:10. And I go to 9:11. And I have mentioned in this recording the date 9:11. This is the date that God keeps showing me over and over again regarding the date that I will be with my wife. And so I'm just going to continue to believe Him for this. This is incredible. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that I clicked to end this message at 8:11. And as it will be right now. And it's going to be 8:28 right now.